part two series of three captivating moments of the book of Exodus. So already the book of Exodus starts off with an intriguing start of the Moses at the burning bush. So you know the story. Moses walks up to the Mount Sinai and then sees this bush where the leaves were burning, but the wood remained intact. This was set to cause a bewilderment of Moses and to express the narrative that a threat of God's holy land was a sign as to connect with Moses. This intervention meaning to rather sanctify and help the children of Israel who were oppressed by these evil pharaohs. But a beautiful thing that you would notice of the bush is that the bush was not consumed because you can't stop God's manifestation. You can't stop the love and the power in the midst of rising oppression and conflict. You know, God's heart is with his people and he has a connection. So with that being said, it was an intervention because God's wanted to have his soul and his heart be present, have a presence for his hurt people. It was also a message from the children of Israel and God. And this just captivates and it shows God's deliverance and acceptance for his people and the promised land. I also feel like that this represents God's wrath for not loving thy neighbor, which would later become part of the Ten Commandments. One more note that we can also take of this is that like God has self-sustaining nature and guides people in the right path to the promised land because he shows his love for the children of Israel. The plagues occurring in Egypt was a hugely interesting part of the book of Exodus for me because you know, it happened in the Nile River and these evil pharaohs were oppressing Israel, the children of Israel, right? Well, God set his wrath and set vengeance, you know, and God's heart became cold whenever the Egyptian's heart became cold because God has a connection with his people, even with the evil people. But just there's a separation, there's a distinction of purity and self-control, you know, with the Egyptian pharaoh and God, to where the Egyptian would not even love his own people, which would later be a part of God's commandments to love thy neighbor. Now, the significant parts of this, and by the way, nine, it wouldn't be one plague, and it wouldn't be two plagues, it wouldn't be three. There were nine plagues that happened in Egypt. Crazy, right? Anyways, the significance of this is that it teaches the lesson that God is powerful and has wrath, and God isn't necessarily this divine being, but God will, and he's not going to be this like all nice, all cheery being, but God is powerful and God will have wrath on the people who infringe on other people's rights and will have a cold heart. Therefore, God would cause a terror in response to Pharaoh as a biblical sign. This also shows that Pharaoh did not have a good heart. Also, in this scenario, Moses would be the messenger, or Moses would be the control of the weather for God. And Moses had the rod, and God instructed Moses to shut down this rod, shove this rod into the ground. And I feel like, in my opinion, I thought that God's rod symbolized a serpent that Adam and Eve would bring, that would bring bad luck, you know, onto the pharaohs for not restoring the children of Israel's life. And that the blood in one of the other plagues, where like the blood was filled with water in the Nile River, represents vile and a cold heart of the pharaoh for not having a sense of morality and a sense of, you know, compassion to want to help other people and to have this evilness in his heart. This will later symbolize later in Exodus as a biblical sign that God will take, that God doesn't want to take an eye for an eye as a way of not having peace. God wants to have peace, meaning that you give an eye for an eye because God wants to give deliverance, to teach his people to be generous and give to one another, to be forgiven. Because without God's people, there is no garden or haven. The plagues in Exodus also teaches to not sacrifice bad things, and it is unholy and worships unholy things. So like I said, give an eye for an eye. Don't take an eye for an eye. The plagues scriptures also gives a moral lesson of resilience as a way to teach God's children to come back in hardship with God. Because even though the terror and suffering still happened, the Pharaoh could have had God's will to be righteous, but backed out of it, even though that he told Moses to pray for him. Because he was like, pray for me, Moses. But he wasn't willing to make that change, which was, that was going to be the next step. He didn't want to win a chance to redeem himself and to restore his life. That way he can restore the lives of the children of Israel. Because you can't help yourself until you help other people. Lastly, the plague stories teaches you that you have to go through trial and error and worship to connect with God and to need change. God also calls his disciples to spread whereabouts on God's presence, to then give great power in disciples and to share good things in God's name. Exodus also talks about humility. In this verse right here, it says, "How long would you refuse to humble yourself before me for thinking that God doesn't serve his people and that the Pharaoh does?" In the plagues, God let out the locusts in Egypt so that there would be no sign of life or growth indicating the decline of Egypt. So the tree of life would be taken out, and that, you know, without having God's heart, you wouldn't have the resilience to redeem yourself, and you don't have purity, and you have all this evil in your soul to now redeem yourself and to connect with God again. The obvious lesson that we could take out of the plagues is to also, you know, stop repenting, because acknowledging is only one step to the right direction. Like I said before, you need change. And of course, to heed God's warning. And lastly, the Ten Commandments of Exodus left an important mark in the Bible that would be recognizable. So the Ten Commandments helped predict and made the English common law, which was in like English, like early medieval times, that like had like religious laws, and it taught people about clergy. The Ten Commandments also taught about salvation, and the Ten Commandments were used to heal the children of Israel and to help them to make an altar for God, to make, you know, a resting place and to worship God and to make offerings for God as well. The goal was to not believe in other gods, but to have a remembrance of God instead, and to impose those laws, and to have strict, maybe like dietary laws, and to manifest God and fear of his presence. Ten Commandments would also influence other laws for property, animal control, and violence. It also teaches us to listen and abide what God is speaking, and without God, we would surely die, because we need to be good listeners. You know, be careful for what you wish for, and make good decisions. The Ten Commandments is also a huge historical make of the Bible. That's the reason why it's very important. All right, after this, I will talk about the key terms. Some key terms I learned in this lesson was wrath, remembrance, sacrifice, atonement, atoning for your sins, which was talked about later in Exodus, which I didn't mention. Like whenever you sacrifice something, like you give the sacrificial lamb. And the angel of Ark. And the tabernacle, which was this like holy place of Israel, to worship God and to give offerings and to give that conservance, you know. And then the cloud, which would also be mentioned later, to help restore the souls of Israel and to help have a holy place for Israel whenever they would continue on their journey. Because without the holy place, they would not be able to sanctify their souls and have the motivation to continue on, have the strength to continue on their journey. All right, next time I will be reading the book Leviticus. That'll be an interesting one.